Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Morning.
It's a great time to praise God, to worship God. At the same time, it is a great time to study the Word of God. We are going through a series of Colossians. Today we are going to study chapter 3, verse 5 to 10. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 to 10. Please turn with me. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 to 10. Most of us like, if the Word of God says that about Christ, about love, what Christ has done for us, right? If Bible says, the Word of God says, that the things that we need to follow, most of us don't like. We try to run away from those things. But Bible is saying that we need to love God, we need to trust God. At the same time, we need to pursue holiness. We need to fight against the destructive sins of our world. That's what Paul is saying in these verses. I was taught that in PTS, and one man of God said that if people are so comfortable in their sins, a preacher has to trouble those people. If people are distressed, the preacher has to comfort those people. So today, we have sermon. It is not comforting sermon. It will hurt you if you are living in sin. Most of us don't like. Even I don't like to preach. Anyway, I'm going back to homeland, hometown. But I have no other option. In front of me, there is a thing. The Word of God says, I need to say it and speak boldly and tell the truth. That we need to repent of our sins. So, chapter 3, verse 5 to 10, reads like this. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed was then. Have put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one created him. If you see this passage, the main idea is we need to fight against the destructive sins of our world. We need to fight. If you think about how soldiers are fighting at the border of India, right? If soldiers are not fighting, what will happen? Enemies will come into the country and kill most of us, right? They are fighting to kill enemies for the good purpose. But this fight is more than that. This fight is more than that, brothers and sisters. We need to fight against our sins, our own sins. That's what Paul is saying. Why we need to fight? It says, therefore, look at the word, verse 5, therefore. It goes back to verse 1 to 4. If Christ is seated on the throne as the King of heaven, one who exercises all his mighty power, if Christ has given you the life, if Christ is going to come and he will give resurrection bodies to you, we have glory in him. If you understand what Christ has done on the cross for us, for our sanctification, for our salvation, then you need to pursue the holiness. That is the reason, that is the motivation to fight against our sins. That's what Paul is saying. Paul does not speak, you need to kill your sins, you need to fight against sin, before he talks about what Christ has done. But here we can see, it says, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality. Then verse 8 says, but now also put them all aside. So he is saying you kill the sins. That's what Paul is saying. That's why I put the theme is fighting against the destructive sins of our old self. The sins are so destructive, right? Do you agree with me? So destructive. It destroys family life. It destroys yourself. It destroys society itself if you are playing with the sins. But unfortunately, Christians are playing with sins. That's why Paul is saying, you need to kill, you need to fight against the sins of our old self. Here we have two principles to fight against the destructive sins of our old. The first principle to fight against the destructive sins of our old is killing the sins that destroy us. There are different kinds of sins. Some sins destroy ourselves, destroys us. Some sins destroys other things. The first thing is killing. That is the first principle. You need to kill. Because it says, verse 5, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality. Then he talks about why I am saying it is destructive. Look at verse 6. It says that the wrath of God will come upon. The wrath of God is coming upon those people who are living in sin. That's why I said it is destructive. Even God takes very seriously, brothers and sisters. All sins that are on the list, dangerous and destructive. It says, right, consider the members of your earthly body as dead. A simple translation of this is put to death. Whatever in you is worldly. Put to death whatever in you is in you, earthly things. That's the idea. Put to death whatever in your nature belongs to the earth. But Paul commands Christians that they should kill, they should mortify the sins that destroy them. They destroy them. Some sins should be killed. It should not be entertained in our life. The idea in Greek, Colossians, urgently kill these things. Urgently, Paul is not saying after one day, after tomorrow you can kill that sin. But idea in Greek is immediately, urgently, right now you kill that sin. That is the idea Paul is saying. Because it is so destructive, it is so dangerous, brothers and sisters. Don't let these sins live in you. If you say that, I can kill these sins tomorrow, after enjoying all my youth, you are in danger. Paul is not saying after tomorrow. Paul is not saying after some months. Paul is saying immediately you need to kill it. You need to kill it. That is the idea. Paul urges Colossians. Colossians, if you understand who Christ is, please do it. Please kill which are against God, against Christ himself. Because God is holy, right? God is holy. You can see, you cannot see any God who likes, who pursue holiness from their people, those who follow them. Only one God who cares about holiness. Only one God who seeks holiness in those who are following him. That is Jesus Christ. That is God, our Father. These are our motivation, brothers and sisters, to destroy the sins which are in us. Two things that you must be aware of to kill destructive sins. The first thing is the specific sins that destroy us. You need to know specific sins. What are the sins that destroy myself? You need to question. But answer is given. The first specific sin that destroys us is sexual immorality. Sexual immorality. Look at verse 5. It says, dead to immorality impurity, passion, evil desire. Primarily, these four sins are pointing to sexual immorality. I don't want to talk about these things, but God wants to talk about these things. Why people are doing sexual immorality? Because pastors, because believers, they are not discipling the young men or other people. They are not talking about these things. They are not talking about the seriousness of these things. That's why even a child who is going to school knows these all things. A person who goes to college, they are doing these things because they are not getting the seriousness of these sins. Here we have two things about sexual immorality that we must kill. The first thing about sexual immorality that we must kill is deeds of sexual sins. Deeds of sexual sins. It says, verse 5, immorality, impurity. Both refer to the actions of sexual sins. These are the actions of sexual sins. Paul is saying you need to kill deeds of sexual sins. The first word, immorality, it denotes any kind of unlawful sexual intercourse. It refers to all extramarital sexual relationships. Those things are happening in churches, in those churches. Paul is saying, he is urging, he is commanding, please kill. Example, prostitution, watching pornography, homosexuality. All kinds of deeds are called immorality. You know, right? LGBTQ, those things all connected to the immorality. They want to please their bodies. That's why they are doing. The another word, impurity, it refers to a state of moral corruption, uncleanness in general sense, but it refers to immoral uncleanness. Impurity refers to result, a state of the moral corruptions. Those who practice sexual sins are called impure. Like immorality, it refers to behavior of man whose actions are determined by his commitment to his natural lusts. It is talking about actions of immorality, actions of sexual sins. So you kill it. You kill it. It is so dangerous. It destroys family life. It destroys yourself. You will be like in bondage. Ultimately, if you are doing continually, you are not born again person. If you are not repenting of those things, if you are not killing that sins, when you are committed, that means you are not thinking about the wrath of God will come upon. So serious. That's why Paul is saying, as a believers, you understand Christ's love. Don't take Christ's love as granted. Don't take Christ's love as granted. Pursue, kill these sins. Why we need to kill deeds of immorality is I have given four things. The first thing is, it is the deeds of the flesh. It is the deeds of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5 verse 19. Just note these things. If you are writing these things, please meditate on these things so that you can escape from these sins, so that you can fight against these things. Galatians chapter 5 verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity. It is the deeds of flesh. Not only it is the deeds of flesh, it is not the will of God. It is not the will of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. What is the God's will? What is God's will? Running away from sexual immorality. So many times people think about, what is God's will? What is God's will? See, God's will is you need to run away from these sins, deeds of sins. Not only that, it is not to be entertained, but repented. Repented. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 21 says, Paul is saying, I am afraid that when I come again, my God may humiliate me before you, and I may mourn over many of those who have sinned in the past and not repented of the impurity, immorality. Some people who have practiced these things, they are not repenting of it. The Paul is concerned about that. Paul was crying. The fourth one, it is not the quality of one who enters the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals are enter the kingdom of God. If you are playing with these sins continually without repenting it, that means you will not enter kingdom of God. That's the idea here. The second thing about sexual immorality that we must kill is, first one is deeds of sexual sins. Second one, desire for sexual sins. Two different things. Deeds of sexual sins are horrible, but desire for sexual sins also horrible. Horrible. It says, verse 5, passion and evil desire. The passion is a feeling which mind suffers. Passionate desire. It is about sexual passion. It is an ungovernable desire. Refers to any overmastering passion it is. So he is not able to control that. She is not able to control that. It is talking about lust. The idea is sexual sin that mind suffers. The idea is that mind is always suffering. I want that. I want that. That is the idea, Greek. That is called passion. That is called lust. But Paul is saying kill those sins. Don't have passion for sexual sins. But for example, we can say Romans chapter 1 verse 26. It says, for the reason God gave them over degrading passions. What kind of passion they have? He talks, their woman exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. In the same way also, men abandoned the natural functions of women and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts, dirty acts. So they have those kind of passions. You should not have those kind of passions. You need to kill. You need to kill. Right now, not tomorrow. Not tomorrow. Right now you need to kill. Why? Because you know God. You understood who God is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 5 says, not in lustful passion, like the Gentiles who do not know God. Gentiles who do not know God have these kind of passions. The bad passions. Sinful passions. But you know God, Colossians. You know God. You need to kill those passions. He's begging. He's commanding. The second word is evil desire. Desire is not bad. It is not sin. But the evil desire is bad. It is the state of logically proceeds ahead of the lust. Before lust comes, the evil desire comes. That is the idea. For example, one person wants to have to do sin, he desires inside first. Then it will become more and more passion, lust. So you need to kill evil desire first. Evil desire first. That is the idea. So what will happen, it is an order. It is going down to top. First evil desire come. If you won't kill that evil desire, it will become passion, lust. If you won't kill that lust, you will do actions. Immorality, impurity, right? He is going backward. Then we move on. But temptation is different. Evil desire is different. Temptation is without your interest. For example, I can say that if I want to beat one of you, somebody gave me stone to stone that person. So he is giving stone. I am saying, no. No. He is giving stone to stone that person. I am saying no. That is temptation. Temptation is coming to stone that person. But no, evil desire is different. Evil desire is, no one is giving, I am taking stone and stoning that person. That is the difference. It is intentionally desiring sexual sins. But temptations will come here and there, but no, you don't like it. You will run away from it. That is temptations. You got my point, right? So he is talking about the specific sin, that is sexual sins. that we need to kill immediately. Now we move on. The second sin that destroys us is greediness. Greediness. Look at verse 5, part B. Greed, which amounts to idolatry. Greed is a state of desiring to have more, to have more. I want more. I have this one. I have car. I want another car. I have building. I want another building. For that you are running after, you are leaving church. You are not coming to church. Just you are running after material things. That is the idea. Laying hands on material things. Wants more money. Wants more material things. That is called greediness. Even God tells about this. Exodus chapter 20 verse 17. It says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, anything that belongs to your neighbor. You should not desire. You should not expect. I want that. I want that. I want that. That is called greediness. Even Jesus himself condemned greediness. Luke chapter 12 verse 15. It says, Jesus said to a person who said, Jesus, will you help me? My brother, he is not dividing possession to me. You go and tell my brother to give my possession. In that context, Jesus said like this. He said to them, everyone, be aware beyond God against every form of greed. Every form of greed. Sometimes people fight for possessions, right? From their relatives. It is one form of greediness. I want that. Somehow I need to fight, take that position, which belongs to you only. But no, even you need to avoid the form of greediness. That is the standard that Jesus has given to us. That is the standard Jesus has to give to us. That's why, no, if your brother, your family members fighting against the possession, no, leave it. Don't fight. Don't go to court. Don't waste your time. Because somehow, no, background, you have that, the greediness, the form of greediness. Even Paul says that you should not eat even with greedy person. You should not eat with your greedy person. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 11. The 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 10 says, they who covetous will not inherit the kingdom of God. The greedy person will not enter the kingdom of God. It is so dangerous. It is so destructive because it says, right, verse 5, the greed which amounts to idolatry. Having more money, having more material things, running after those things is nothing but idolatry. Worshipping money, worshipping material things, worshipping like position, anything else, but you are rejecting who Christ is. The money is more important than God. Amen. Money is important than God. You should not do that. God is more important than money. You can say amen now. Amen. This is so dangerous. It is so idolatry, right? He compared. Even Jesus says, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and the love the other. He will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. You cannot serve. Both are equal. Some of unbelievers and even some Christians, they worship money, wealth more than God. What are the marks of those who worship money more than God? They won't come to the church because they are very busy with the business. One or two Sundays, like yearly, four Sundays, five Sundays, if you miss for urgent case, that's okay. But no, always running after money, always running after business. You don't have time for business. You don't have time. You don't have time for Bible study. You don't have time for fellowship in the church. It indicates, it refers that you are a greedy person. You are worshipping money more than God. No bad examples in the Bible. Gehazi, what he has done? Gehazi, what he has done? Elisha said that, I don't want your money, Nahum. Then he said, I don't want. Then what happened? Elisha ran after Naaman. and got what he wants. That is greediness. What happened? God judged that person. What about Achan? Who has stolen money and things and gold, everything. God judged that person. Because it is idolatry. It is idolatry. The good example I can give you, I can help you, I can motivate you, is Paul. Paul is good example. He is a model for us after Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 2 says, make room for us in your hearts. In your hearts. We wronged no one. We corrupted no one. We took advantage of no one. He did not take advantage of no one. It is the qualification of pastor, right, for me. It is the qualification of those who are going to serve. We should not take advantage of others. If you are taking advantage of others, always using other things, that one, this one, what it shows? You are a greedy person. You want that one. Paul is the best example. Pope Pius, the Roman Pope, he said about Calvin up at his death. So interesting. I love this statement. He said about Calvin at his death, the strength of that heretic. Pope believes Calvin is heretic, right? So he said like this, the strength of that heretic consisted in this, that money never had the slightest charm, attraction for him. Then he said, interesting statement, if I had a such servant, my dominion would extend from sea to sea. Sea to sea. This heretic, he is not loving money. He is not thinking about money. If I have those kind of servant, I can extend my dominion sea to sea. These are the people model for us. We should not run after money. We should not preach for money. We should not believe Jesus Christ for money. What about prosperity gospel? If you come to the church, Christ will give you bangla. If you come to the church, Christ will give whatever you want. Somehow, prosperity gospel encouraging greediness. The greedy people running after prosperity gospel. By God's grace, you are not running after prosperity gospel. But no, there is a sense. Even we can worship wealth and money more than Christ, God. Brothers, you need to fear judgment of God. You need to meditate a godly man, godly person like Paul and Calvin. And also you need to pray to God to protect you from that sin. Are you praying? Brothers, I am asking, are you praying? Lord, protect me from greediness. Because you are living in cities, right? You can see bungalows, you can see many rich people. You want to desire, you want to have that one. To get that one, you do all kind of things. What happens in villages, no? Let me tell you. To get more money, no, they add more water in milk. Even Christians. Why you are doing that? Tell, if others are saying 60 rupees, tell 80 rupees. I am not adding single water. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Why you are adding more water? See, it's like village people. If he talks about city people, no, they're business people telling lies. This item has come from this rate, so I am charging this rate. Don't tell how much you bought. You are lying. You are deceiving them, right? To become rich. To get more money. These are the things we need to look after. Be careful, brothers. Even psalmist prayed for this. Psalm 119, verse 36. Incline mine heart to your testimonies, and do not to dishonest gain. Dishonest gain. He is praying, protect my heart. I don't think the more strong people are sitting here. Even psalmist is praying, right? We need to pray that. That is the solution to overcome that. Again, we move on. The second thing that you must beware of to kill destructive sin is, first one is, you need to know the specific sins. The second thing is warning of doing these sins. Warning. Paul has given warning also, verse 6 and 7. Three warnings of doing these things. The first warning is, it is a lifestyle that is under God's wrath. It is a lifestyle that is under God's wrath. Verse 6 says, for it is because of these things the wrath of God will come upon. they will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will inherit the wrath of God, which is hell. Which is hell. What about believers? Sometimes God judges, disciplines believers on the earth. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 11, some people are weak, some people are sleeping. God is judging them because they are doing these kind of sins. They are not thinking about godliness. The second warning is, it is a lifestyle of disobedient people. Who does these all things? Sexual immorality, greediness, mostly disobedient, unbelievers does these actions. Verse 6, part B. The wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. The sons of disobedience refers to people characterized by disobedience. In this context, it refers to all those who are disobedient. Disobedient people, those who think themselves their lords, their kings, they does these all things. Why one person is doing immoral things? Because he thinks, I am Lord. I no need to submit anybody else. I no need to give any account to anybody else. Those who believe, those who think they are Lord for their life, they will do these kind of sins, right? That is the quality. That is the actions of those people. You don't do Colossians. Paul is saying, you don't do. There is a warning. Even we know, to escape from that sin, to kill those sins, we need to think, we need to consider Jesus Christ is our Lord. Whatever he says, if he says, don't do Vijay, I should not do that. If he says, you do these things, I need to do that. Because he is my master, I am his slave. You are his slave, you are servant. Whatever he says, he is boss, right? We have Justin here. Whatever he says, people are doing those things in the NEFC. They listen because he is boss. They need to listen. In the same way, if Christ is boss, he is saying, don't run after those things. Don't run after those sins. You need to listen because he is your boss. He doesn't like, your boss doesn't like. Servants try to please bosses, right? You need to please your boss. That is King of heaven and earth, right? You need to love him. That is our motivation. Don't behave like disobedient people. That is warning. The third warning is, it was a lifestyle of your past. They were doing these things. Okay, they are unbelievers, they are doing. But don't do now. That is the idea. Verse 7, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. Colossians walked in them, which means they have conducted in those sins. They have this lifestyle, running after material things and running after sexual sins. You have done that one. What it means going back again? There is a proverb, right, proverbs in our Telugu language that is called like, it says like this, committing these sins is behaving like a dog that eats which is omitted. Did you omit any time? Of course, right? Did you taste again that one? Ah, sin is more horrible than that, right? You don't want to go that place. Even you don't want to go that place which you vomited, right? Paul is saying, you lived in those days. You are doing those things. Why you are going back again? Don't go back again. It was a lifestyle of your past. You are no more the old person. You are a new person, right? That's what the warnings he has given. Now we move on. The second principle to fight against the destructive sins of our old self. The first principle is killing the sins that destroy us. The second fight is stopping the sins that destroy our relationship. So two areas, two kinds of sins we are seeing here. Some sins destroy ourselves. Some sins destroy our relationship with the other believers. It destroys fellowship. It destroys love among us. It destroys, it kills. No one wants to see face to face. I don't want to talk to that person. I want to run away from that church. Why these things are happening? There are some sins that are destructive, destruction of our relationship. Then again, he says, verse 8, put them all aside is a command. It is a command of urgency. Again, he is saying, you need to do it immediately. You need to put off. Right now, you should put them all aside. The idea is to unclothing the sins that destroy our relationship. I know I love my wife. So one area she asked me help. When you are wearing shirt, no, don't wear long time.